In part one of this unit of Talk to the World, the theory of customer relations was introduced via two dialogues, which illustrated some of the central issues in the subject. Both dialogues were concerned with the centrality of customer retention in a successful customer relations program. Statistical arguments were advanced for this centrality. Customer retention was furthermore seen to be based on a dynamic learning feedback approach involving an interaction with the customer. In this, the second part of the unit, we will use the two dialogues from part one as the basis for a further investigation of the notion of a successful service system. The structure of part two will be as follows. 1. An extract from a dialogue is reproduced. 2. The more difficult language in this extract is explained. 3. The extract is discussed. The first dialogue is set in the office of Mr. Peter Limburg, the managing director of Limburg's Bookshop and Art Gallery Limited. In the dialogue, which takes place between Mr. Limburg and Miriam de Burka, the company's public relations manager, Peter tells of the startling new findings in a paper published in Marketing Today.
According to the US Office of Consumer Affairs, it costs 5 to 6 times more to attract new customers than it does to keep old ones. Re-establishing links with a customer, even one of several years ago, is said to be cheaper than simply trying through normal advertising to attract a first-time buyer.
To attract
means to entice, to captivate, to draw near.
A first-time buyer
means somebody who has never bought something before. When somebody goes to the bank to arrange finance in order to buy their first house, they may receive special rates for being a first-time house buyer.
To establish
means to generate, to develop, to create. Statistics like those cited by Peter are the basis of the customer service craze in the modern approach to business. Traditionally, the seller's relationship with the buyer was thought of in discrete terms. In other words, theorists thought of the relationship as involving a single transaction, one sale. Modern economic theory stresses the continuity of the relationship between the buyer and the seller. When the emphasis is on a longer-term relationship, narrowly economic factors like price diminish in importance, and non-economic factors such as service come to the forefront.
A dissatisfied customer will tell, on average, 10 other people about it. On the other hand, only 1 in 26 dissatisfied customers will complain directly to the business responsible. This means that even a small number of complaints may indicate a large amount of negative word of mouth about a business.
Dissatisfied.
This is the opposite of satisfied. Dissatisfied means unhappy, annoyed, discontented.
Word of mouth.
Oral communication. Communication from person to person, rather than through text or radio or other forms of media.
Discreet.
Discreet is the opposite of continuous. A pile of marbles is a discrete collection because it can be broken up into units. Peter's quote shows how dangerous it can be to think of selling in purely discrete terms. Customers communicate with other potential customers, and this communication can be advantageous or extremely destructive for the seller's business. Furthermore, one is not necessarily aware of this enormous influence which word of mouth has upon one's business.
Can you imagine? All one's advertising efforts and expense may be offset by dissatisfied customers, yet one may remain oblivious to the fact due to lack of feedback.
To offset.
This means to counteract, to nullify. One's advertising efforts would also be offset by somebody pulling down one's advertisements.
To remain oblivious to the fact.
To remain ignorant of the matter. To not know the truth about something.
Feedback.
Information that one receives from people with whom one has had contact. Taking Peter's figures as an example, One complaint may indicate 26 dissatisfied customers. If each of these customers tells 10 people, then that one complaint is the tip of an iceberg comprising 260 people who have either had a bad experience with or have heard bad reports about a company. This example shows the necessity of minimizing customer dissatisfaction. Simply providing refunds and apologies is not enough. Customer service must be proactive and not reactive. A reactive program of customer relations is one that reacts to a given situation. A proactive program assumes that service standards are deficient to begin with and sets about improving them. To be proactive in your customer service efforts means not to be complacent, not to take service standards for granted, not to assume your business can't be improved in this area.
They're very surprising figures, all right. Of course, not everybody who hears a bad report about a company is a potential customer in any real sense.
A potential customer
means somebody who is not yet a customer, but may become one. Miriam makes the important point that the statistics Peter is citing have to be very carefully interpreted. To return to our fictional example, we claim that Peter's statistics implied that one complaint could be the tip of an iceberg comprising 260 people who have either had a bad experience with or have heard bad reports about the company concerned. This is true, but consider, on the other hand, the following example. Say that the mother of a family of five has a bad experience with the company that delivers the fuel to her house. Assuming she tells 10 people about this bad experience, it is quite likely that the other four members of her own family would be among these 10. The point is, of course, that none of the other members of her family is a potential customer in the sense of additional or new customer. This is the point of Miriam's warning. Statistics can confuse as well as illuminate an argument.
It's so, Miriam. In the light of all this startling information, I'd like to know what we're doing in the field of customer retention.
Startling
means surprising, astonishing, frightening.
In the light of certain information
means having considered this information, having been informed by this information. Peter wants a list of the business's proactive efforts in customer retention. That is, a list of the systems in place in the company for keeping customers. Miriam gives him a few examples of the company's activities. Direct mail for exhibitions. Free bar at exhibition openings. Relaxed financing arrangements for art buyers. Catalog publishing and distribution to customers. A book search facility for out-of-print books. There are many other ways in which a company can be proactive in customer retention. Airlines provide bonuses for frequent flyers. This provides the customer with an incentive or a reason to stay with one airline. In general, frequent buyer programs are more suited to some businesses than to others. They have proved a major tool in the wars between oil companies in recent years. Gas stations offer stamps every time a certain amount of petrol is purchased. Quantities of these stamps can then be traded in for radios, clocks, teddy bears, and other gifts. Home heating suppliers give gifts for frequent referrals. This is a system whereby somebody who recommends, say, 3 new customers to buy a tank of heating oil from a certain supplier receives a small gift, perhaps a box of chocolates or a gift certificate. The sending of thank you notes is a simple and effective technique which Peter suggests for retaining customers. It is a technique with limited applicability, however. It is only really feasible on purchases over a certain size. It is furthermore dependent on the customer leaving a record of his address. It is easy to imagine other proactive forms of customer retention. Newsletters, brochures, and customer reward and recognition programs are a few.
Has anybody ever taken advantage of this system to run off with a work of art?
No. Of course, there is always a danger of that. But I think that is a very small danger relative to the goodwill which our financing arrangements win for us.
To take advantage of.
Means to exploit, to use for your benefit, to make use of.
Goodwill.
Is a term used in the business world to signify the contribution of the customers to the value of a company or business. A successful company is worth more than the value of its fixed and current assets, its buildings, machinery, vehicles, cash in the bank. The relationship it has built up with its customers over an extended period of time adds to its value. Goodwill can be measured in fiscal or monetary terms. Peter asks Miriam if the liberal financing arrangements for art purchases have resulted in many bad debts, that is, debts to the company which are not repaid. Miriam's response shows that she is aware of the risks of the company's financing policy. She argues, however, that the risks are outweighed by the benefits. She says that the company gets a great deal of goodwill because of its easygoing approach.
I think it would also be a good idea to restore the old visitor's book to the shop. It makes the customers feel special if they sign their name when they're leaving. There also used to be room for a comment on service, or simply the overall impression of the business that the customer was taking away with them.
Miriam argues that the visitor's book, in which customers may sign their names and say what they think of the business, should be brought back. One of the most important lessons in customer service is that the customer will not tell you what he or she thinks without being asked. This point may be phrased as a rule, a golden rule of customer service. Stay close to your customers. In order to serve your customers, you must know who they are. You must understand what they like and dislike about your business, what they want and need from it, and what they expect from it. Exceeding customers' expectations is what successful customer service is all about. If your product is good, but not as good as the customer expected, then he or she will be dissatisfied. If your product is mediocre, but fulfills expectations, then the customer will be satisfied. Knowing the customer's expectations is difficult, but it is the necessary first step to fulfilling or exceeding them. The required knowledge comes from interaction or communication with the customer. For example, 1. Ask your customers questions after they have made a purchase. 2. Have them write a comment in a visitor's book. This has the added advantage that when people are asked to write down a comment, they are much more likely to write something positive. They then tend to take what they have written as being a true reflection of what they think. In other words, their very act of writing something about your business affects their perception of your business for the better. 3. Send out customer surveys in the post. 4. Have customer lotteries which require that the entrants take part in a survey. 5. Develop a customer council, a group of customers who can advise you on their needs. The knowledge that they are recognized makes your customers more loyal to your business.
I'm going to suggest at the next board meeting that proactive customer service guidelines should be put in writing and made official company policy. We need full commitment to excellent service at all levels, from management through to shop floor, if a service philosophy is properly to sink in.
To put something in writing
means, literally, to write it down. Metaphorically, it means to make it official.
Shop floor
is where the sales are made in a retail outlet or where production takes place in a manufacturing business. Peter has decided that the company needs written standards of service performance. This is an excellent way to make the concept of customer service more practical, less abstract. If the company has specific guidelines for customer service, for example, a rule that refunds should be unconditionally granted, then the staff feel less unsure of how they should behave in difficult service situations. Providing specific guidelines for customer service also focuses attention on areas in which the company may have service weaknesses. For example, how many times does the phone ring before it is answered? How long must customers hold the line when they do get through? how long does it take to fill an order? If the company provides guidelines in as many areas as possible, there is less opportunity for service flaws to go undetected. The second dialogue, in part one of this unit, deals with customer complaints. The dialogue is set in the foyer, or front hall, of the Bloomsbury Hotel. The receptionist, Mr. Richard Rorty, has to deal with a complaint from Susan Hawk, an upset and angry businesswoman.
Could you hold on 1 minute? I'll be right with you.
No, I can't hold on for a minute. I'm here to make a complaint, and I have no intention of waiting around to do it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
To hold on
means to wait.
A universal and important rule of customer service is never keep people waiting more than is absolutely necessary. This rule is based on a simple fact, namely, people hate waiting. Richard reacts quickly upon discovering that he is dealing with a complaint situation. He drops what he was doing and gives the customer his full attention. Making angry customers wait before considering their complaint makes it more difficult to win them back, to resolve their complaint satisfactorily.
I can quite understand that you're upset if the porter was impolite. And you say you were put in the wrong room. Please tell me from the beginning exactly what happened.
Richard asked Susan to state the complaint clearly. This is the first step to resolution of the complaint. It is, moreover, important to show empathy at all stages of the resolution process. Use phrases like, I can see why. I understand. I know how you feel. Another useful technique, which Richard uses, is to restate the problem as the customer describes it. This shows the customer that you understand the nature of the complaint.
I can quite understand that you are unhappy with a mix-up like that. The telephonist must have crossed in the wrong boxes on the booking form. What I will do now is move you immediately to another room. Now, let's see. We want ensuite, a bath, and lake view.
To mix up
means to confuse, to muddle, to make a mistake.
A bedroom that is ensuite
means a bedroom with a connecting bathroom.
The next step in dealing with the complaint successfully is illustrated by this extract. Tell the customer that you will resolve the problem immediately. Use words like now, immediately, straight away. Even if it later transpires that you are unable to resolve the problem, the customer will have perceived your sincerity and will be favorably impressed. Richard should, however, have avoided trying to explain how the error came about. Apologies should be unconditional. They shouldn't contain anything which might be perceived as making an excuse for the problem.
You must be mad. I can't afford the penthouse suite. After the treatment I've received in this hotel, you expect me to pay for your most expensive room.
There will be no extra charge whatsoever, Mrs. Hark.
Oh.
You've clearly had a most uncomfortable time so far, and we shall do everything in our power to see that the remainder of your time here makes up for it.
Extra charge
means additional cost.
Everything in our power
means everything we are able to do.
To make up for something
means to act by way of apology or restitution for something.
The most important stage in the successful resolution of complaints, illustrated in this extract, is the restitution or making good stage. If at all possible, give the customer more than he or she was expecting. It is the level of expectation fulfillment that decides whether or not your customer goes away satisfied. If the customer doesn't expect anything, then anything will exceed his or her expectations. If the customer expects a lot,
then it will take a lot to exceed his or her expectations. Try to tailor restitution to expectation, always attempting to give the customer more than he or she expects. To summarize, the following are guidelines for dealing with a complaint successfully. 1. Listen to the complaint carefully. If it is not clear, ask the customer to restate it. 2. Restate the complaint exactly as the customer stated it. 3. Apologize. Use language which shows sympathy. 4. Say that you will resolve the complaint immediately. If possible, show that you are resolving the complaint. 5. Resolve the complaint, attempting to exceed the customer's expectations. A sixth stage could be added to these five. We might call it the follow-up stage. Ask the customer soon after if the complaint was resolved to his or her satisfaction. For example, Richard could have said to Susan that evening, "Have we resolved the problem to your satisfaction? Is there anything else we can do?" This extra effort will ensure that a loyal customer and ambassador for your business has been created.